You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 on WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And for those folks who are listening from other states, other countries, other counties, you can't get on the radio, you can listen online.
You can go right to 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that on demand or listen live button, and you can hear us live right here. Of course, it's Eastern Standard Time. So if you missed the show, you can always go to our archive shows, which is also on 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that on demand button, just pick the show that you want to hear. And then also we post all of that on our Facebook page and also cedamediainc.com.
That's right. Where would we be without social media, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Our show depends on it.
That's so true.
And that's why the other day when I got locked out on my Facebook, I panicked.
What is happening? There was a 911 call.
Yeah. So for our listeners who are tuning in, Ellen O'Neill, myself, and Samantha, as well as our producer, Paul, we sit here on Mondays, and it's been going on 12 years, and we speak about kitchen table topics. We talk about things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida. We speak about things that are going on in our state. And we talk about social issues that's happening in all over the world. Like we speak to people from the Zonta Club. And we speak about human trafficking with them. We speak to the JA and we speak about financial literacy and how to start savings at an early age. We speak with the Marine Resource Council. We speak about the environment. Mm-hmm. And we speak with politicians. I have a lot of friends. And I have a lot of friends who are running for office. And I think our show is a good forum to have them call in as my friends and speak about why they decided to run. And so today is no different. Mm-hmm. We have my friend Ty Javelana, who's running to be the CFO for the state of Florida. He's calling in. And then the Commissioner of Agriculture, Nikki Freed, is calling in the second segment. And you know, Ellen, it is very, for me, it is rewarding to have our shows and have people come up to me and say, you guys are making such a difference here in Brevard.
But it's all the things that we've spoken about over the 12 years. It's all the things that we're committed to. Public school, you know, to improve public school. We've had the public school system folks that have been here. We talk about health care. We talk about affordable housing.
Income inequality.
Absolutely. So we've brought all of those people on the show for the last 12 years. So it really just speaks to our heart. And we always speak from our heart.
Right. And musicians, entertainers, right. Actors, yeah. Actresses. And, you know, sometimes people come to me and say, where do you find such quality guests? And I'm like, you know what? If you know my husband, he goes to bed at 9 p.m., sometimes even 8 p.m. And I have all this energy, right? And I don't want to really leave the house and go out every night. So I get on social media and I read articles and I read stuff that people are doing. And then I'm like, oh, well, that's a good thing to do. So I send them a Facebook message or whatever. But of lately, a lot of people are contacting me. And it looks like our show has become like Book Central, call Sita Biggie if you want to talk about your book. They're paying for their segments, which is really good because we can help Paul here keep our studio alive and well.
Absolutely. It is such a good feeling to be able to help out the community, to get their passions and, you know, the abilities and talents that people have in this town are just bountiful.
And, you know, I like to talk about things on the show, you know, equality, opportunity, justice and injustices at time. And respect, empowerment, freedom of speech, freedom of choice, whatever it is. I like to speak. And because I feel as you grow older, we all do learn from each other. We learn from other cultures. We learn from other people's past experiences. No one's perfect.
That's right.
I think, but what happens is when you pick yourself up and you go again, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm no different. I mean, coming from 18 children, right? You know, I have, as you know. And Bukoska just honored me with an award on Saturday for nursing as well as the show. And, you know, I'm very passionate about the show because it's our baby, yours mm-hmm. and mine, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, we have such a good time. And we've, like I said, we've met such fantastic
ABWE, that's where it's
people.
At.
That's right. Exactly.
But anyway, so lots of stuff to talk about. My friend Ty is on the phone. And
Hi, Ty.
Hi, Sita. Hi, everybody.
And Ellen is here, too. Ellen is my friend, and Ellen is my right hand for the show, as well as Samantha, who helps us with social media and things like that. But Ellen helps me to make sure that I stay on point and on task and sends out all the emails and things like that. So Ty, you...
Hi, Ellen, and hi, Samantha. It's my pleasure to make the acquaintance.
Thank you. So I met you in person at the gala, and I'm so happy I did because, you know, after speaking to you, I know that you're a man of integrity, respect, you're a loyal human on this planet, and you do want to make a difference in our world. Why else would someone throw their hat in the ring to run for CFO of our state? So tell our listeners a little bit about this idea that you had that you are going to take on the current CFO, Mr. Jimmy Patronis, who is also, by the way, a native Floridian, born and raised in Panama City, right here in Florida. So you tell us a little bit about why you decided to run for office.
Okay, so I'm also a full-time resident of Florida. I've been in Florida for the past 45 years of my 57 years on this earth. So I believe that I've watched Florida change, you know, for better or for worse, and I've come to love Florida and all Floridians, you know, the environment, or everything about Florida. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. I reside here in Broward County, by the way, in South Florida. And several years ago, I got re-involved back in the political arena, working on dozens of campaigns on the local and county level here in Broward County. I had the opportunity in the 2018 election cycle. Actually, I started in the early part of 2017 working on the statewide campaigns of Glenn Graham for governor and Nikki Fried for agricultural commissioner. And I traveled throughout this entire state, practically not all 67 counties, but a good many of them, you know, campaigning, building the grassroots support, social media. And I got to really understand, you know, Florida outside of South Florida. And outside of South Florida, north of South Florida is quite different, obviously. But I was able to travel to the northwest, to the northeast, central Florida, Tampa, St. Pete, I-4 corridor. And I learned that this, you know, this is an incredible state, the largest state, one of the largest states, one of the most populous states, with that really almost is like six or seven, you know, states in one. And
yeah.
my background has always been in accounting and finance. And I never really paid attention when I was in practicing for nearly almost 40 years in those industries, serving small businesses, individuals, regular blue-collar workers, high-net-worth individuals, large corporations. You know, politics never came into play. It was never an issue about are you Republican, you're a Democrat. It was listening to these clients going out on these engagements and consulting, auditing, you know, providing tax expertise. And when I saw learned that there is the position of the chief financial officer, I know what the CFO does. That's the business manager for the state. I know about it.
Yeah, you have a lot of experience in that department. So just so that our listeners know, we're speaking with Ty Javelana, and he is a candidate for the CFO for the state of Florida. He is a Democrat, and he's my friend, and I asked him to call him today on our show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So tell me something. What is your background? Because it's extensive. Accounting, political consulting. Your daughter was the mayor of Hallandale. So tell our listeners a little bit about your actual background, because it seems to me like you are the right man for the job.
Well, let me dial it back a little bit. I'm the eldest son of immigrant parents coming from the Philippines. I was actually born in the Philippines and immigrated here when I was 2 years old. We lived for 10 plus years in Jersey City, New Jersey.
That's where I'm from.
And I can't, pardon?
That's where I'm from, Danforth Avenue, between Ocean and Garfield.
Oh, wow. from my third floor, you know, the old Margaret Haig Maternity
That's
Hospital.
That's where I was born.
Almost everybody was born there.
Absolutely.
You know?
And my parents worked there.
I lived in the three-story apartment building right next to Margaret Haig. I could look out my living room window and look across the bay and see the Statue of Liberty.
I saw it from my bedroom window. Yep.
I have wonderful memories. And that's really, you know, growing up in the Northeast and having, you know, that's a melting pot, the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, and having friends of all different backgrounds. And when I came down here to Florida, it was an easy transition because we're such a diverse state. But, you know, as I said, we moved down here in 76 as a middle schooler. I attended, you know, the school, schools here in Broward County and went on to University of Florida and Florida International University and attained my degrees. I got a bachelor's of science in accounting, a master's in taxation, and I went to, I was very much involved. That's where I know it was at FIU that I really cut my teeth on becoming a student leader. I either started or joined a half a dozen organizations holding offices, and it was that involvement that carried me when I graduated into community organizations. I was very, very heavily involved in the formation of a lot of Asian American civic associations, being an executive officer of the Asian American Federation of Florida, which was an umbrella organization, and later on into the as I developed my professional career into different business circles. I was the president of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce and chair of the Pacific Rim Committee at Greater Miami Chamber, and at least another half a dozen international organizations.
Wow. You know what it is? You have a lot of purpose, my friend, and it looks like you were born to lead. You know, a CFO is a critical organization. It's an appointment for any organization. It's where the money is, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to lead. So what makes you the right person for the job?
Well, I can tell you, Sita, just by reading a little bit about Ty. I read
you
something.
You want to meet my friend?
Oh, we're buddies already. So he doesn't even know it.
And I think we'll make that happen. I've been by a mutual friend, Eric Ziegler. He's always trying to get me to come up to Brevard, and I'm
Eric.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, cool. But I read somewhere that you put, it was either on a tweet or something, I'm running for more transparency, accountability, and to guarantee that every tax dollar is spent for public benefit.
That's the definition of a CFO.
It's a total, the perfect definition of a CFO.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people aren't aware who their CFO is, let alone that there is a CFO position and what does the position entail. And a lot of states have it either by either CFO or comptroller. But for Florida, it's a unique position. There used to be a lot of there used to be more cabinet offices, and the Republicans, in an effort to narrow down, the number of Democrats running for office, they mashed up the CFO position back in 2003, I believe. They, you know, it what it is now is it's the state auditor, the state treasurer, the head of the insurance controller, the head of the Division of Financial Services, and the fire marshal all wrapped up in one.
Right. Yeah, I think everybody got confused around that Tom Gallagher and Alex Sink era. You know, it was kind of confusing. And then those folks actually took the fall for some things, too, that were, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're begging for the transparency.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, Ty, with you running for this position, we have seen where the Asian Americans, you know, just like other people are getting involved in politics, Asian Americans are getting involved as well. And we do have a say in what happens in our state. Almost every person I know, they work, they pay their taxes, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what color, gender, race, whoever they are, they want security, they want a safe place to live, they want a great school for their kids, they want a good environment, and they want somebody to represent them that says, I hear you, I understand where you're coming from, let's talk about this. So if elected, when this position, you know, when the elections are held, do you see yourself being one of those persons that wants equal economic opportunities and justice for all here in the state of Florida?
Oh, absolutely. And reflecting back on what you said as far as the Asian American community, I think that's wonderful that we're getting engaged for so long, especially, you know, what I've witnessed. Back in the 80s, when I was still in my 20s, it was hard-pressed. Our numbers weren't that great in Florida. And it was hard-pressed to find other fellow, you know, Asian Americans here in Florida, unlike California, New York, Chicago, where there are very large Asian American communities. It was very unusual to find other Asian Americans that wanted to get involved, whether it was in the community or leadership. So it was a little bit difficult then. But it certainly has, in the, you know, these days, it certainly has changed. I believe that, for one thing, Asian Americans used to be known as the silent minority. No longer is that, the case. Where we can count on it to take our, our part, as well as to be very strong voters. And I think that Stacey Abrams, showed that was possible. A lot of folks, the leaders have told me that coalition that she started, which came out of community with the blacks, the Hispanics, and Asians, is why they were successful in the 18 elections with Warnock and Ossoff.
And you're building the coalition in the minority community as well. People, what kind of feedback are you getting right now as you do your outreach and you're feeling this out? I mean, are you finding people are very supportive? And because remember, your name carries a lot of weight here too, because your daughter was also on the ballot a few years ago, and I think she's running again as well. So are you finding a lot of people excited, especially people from Appy?
Oh, the support has been tremendous for my community, the Asian American community, but as well as, like as you said, the coalition from Hispanic and Black community and party leaders. They're the ones that had asked me months ago, Ty, are you running? This is terrific. You could do what Stacey Abrams did in Georgia, you could do for Florida. And that's quite easy for me. I came really out of community, and I know, and this is when I was in my early 20s that I was getting involved in a leadership role in civic organizations from the formation and development, that I've got so many long-standing relationships in the South Florida community, especially, and that's quite easy for me to make the transition. So yeah, I'm very thankful for all the support that I'm getting from communities across the state and just everywhere.
Well, you know, life is about relationships, right? And it's the relationships that we build along the way that's going to sustain and feed us when we decide to run for office or open a business or whatever it is we want to do. And you have dedicated yourself to activism for the good of the common man, which is great. And I like that in you. I think that's really leadership. And Ellen is shaking her head to everything we're saying. But I wanted to ask you, now, there had to be an aha moment for you when you said, you know what, I'm going to run for this. So what was that aha moment that you said, you know what, I could do a better job than the guy who's in this position right now?
It has to be the 2018 cycle, you know, election cycle. Prior to that, I hadn't honestly thought about running for elected office. I was always comfortable of being behind the scene and helping others get elected, the right people get elected. And working on those campaigns for Gwen Graham and Nikki Fried, and traveling around, and people getting to know me across the state, as you know, because I was very much their grassroots organizer, their surrogates at places where they couldn't. And people started asking me, "When are you going to run?" And I kind of shook my head, and I'm like, I didn't really see that. But when I saw that we were losing races that we should have been winning, and maybe the candidate had the best intentions, and maybe they were not maybe best qualified. And when I looked at that position for the CFO, and I said, but I know that position. I've been in that position for the past 30 years, and I'm looking at the candidate, at the current incumbent, and I said, but his background isn't suited for that position, and that's not right. I think Florida deserves better, and that's why I say that better transparency and accountability, and you know, and that the tax dollars are spent, you know, for the public benefit.
And you believe in yourself, Ty Javelina, and that's what it takes to run for office. You have to have that self-confidence and be your own best friend and believe that you could make a difference. And I have to tell you, I was speaking to somebody at the gym a couple days ago, and they're like, well, you know, the Democrats lose because you guys don't know how to message things. And I said, you're right. When that word defund came up and the word socialism, all of us should have said, wait a minute, you know what? There ain't no socialism. There are social programs. And I remember speaking to someone once who says, well, I think the Democrats are, you know, want communists in this country, and they want everybody to be a socialist and blah, blah. And I said, wait a minute. You have people who, your aunts and family are in the nursing homes on Medicaid. Your children go to public school. You yourself, I told this person, you yourself explained to me once that your husband had a bad back and he was getting assistance. You're driving on the roads. You know we have Homeland Security in the airports. You've got people in your family in the military. You are part of the persons in the United States who is enjoying social programs that we all pay for. So I wonder why the Democrats don't come out and say, listen, we want you to work. We want you to make as much money as you want. You want to be a millionaire, a billionaire. You want to make 10 grand a year, 20, 40, make it, but just pay a fair share. And when they spoke about defunding the police, no, we need the police. We need law enforcement officers.
But
we need to
asked.
Put resources into other communities so all zip codes are treated the same. So do you find that the Democrats have a messaging problem when it comes to talking?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And how do we fix
it? I think that's what the party's trying to figure out. But you know, it's difficult sometimes when the other side, it doesn't matter what argument you throw out to them, they believe that big lie. They believe because it's convenient to their point of view. Although they probably really don't believe everything, it's just convenient. What I found, you know, through my careers is not only just not looking to the peanut gallery for the cheerleaders, but I want to see what is the, you know, what's your position? What you know, a contrasting and opposing, you know, side of point. And oftentimes I find that when we discuss it and we have real dialogue and not all of this name calling and labels, we can often find common ground. We may not always, agree on 100% of the issues, but I believe that we want to have, livable wages, that we want to have affordable health care, that we want, public safety and progressive things like, criminal justice, reform, that these antiquated laws are exactly that. So, as long as we can agree on, 80% of the issue, I think we can come to some kind of consensus, even though we may belong to different parties.
Right. Well, you know what it is we have to find common ground and compromise. I mean, we compromise at home with our children, with our husbands. We compromise with our neighbors. We compromise with people of different faiths, different religion, different races. We compromise with the workers at work. Mm-hmm. We compromise. Even when you're in the airport, you have to compromise in that long line, mm-hmm. So it's almost like we have to get back to a place in our country where everybody is kind, show compassion, be empathetic. I mean, it's almost like so many folks have decided that they are going to lie their way into everything. And those lies have taken hold, and that those lies turn into bigotry and racism and hate and division and fear. And I have to say, I commend you for running, because you are throwing all that aside and saying, I am going to build a coalition that understands that the office I'm going to be running for is for everyone. It's not just for Democrats. CFO for the entire state of Florida. So can you give us some information if somebody wanted to read about you, maybe donate, volunteer some time, effort and energy, whatever it is they can help you with?
Well, right now, because I'm assembling my campaign team. I was last week was when I was officially recognized by the Division of Elections that I'm an active candidate. In the next week or so, about this month, we'll have our website up. Right now, I do have the Facebook accounts. I do have the public page, but we will have the website up and our ActBlue account activated.
And I can say very easy to find you on Facebook and on LinkedIn as well, and your professional history. And Ty Javelana, my other Jersey City buddy.
You want to meet him. We're gonna have to come to the studio.
We're gonna have to have some roti and curry chicken on you.
Absolutely. And Flowery, and I love all that stuff.
That's
oh
awesome.
My God.
Well, thank you so much for calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today. Folks, we got to take a quick station break from our sponsors. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sita.
Sea Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And we're also heard online everywhere, Ellen, even in Canada and Trinidad.
Everywhere. So
in India, too.
That's right. You go to 1510wwbc.com, get the Listen Live button. Or if you're not in our Eastern time zone and you could be sleeping right now, you can catch our shows on that archived page as well. Hit the On Demand button and just pick the date for the show, and you'll be able to hear all of our shows for the last, well, maybe not all of them, but
most
on our
of them
website,
anyways, right?
CedaMediaInc.com. We have all of the shows archived on there as well. And it's such a pleasure. Again, Nikki, thank you so much for calling in and for being part of our show today.
Florida Governor.
Go Florida.
Florida.
Go Gators.
Let's introduce the writer, right? She is the only, she is our Democratic star. She is elected. She was elected statewide. She's the Commissioner of Agriculture. She's beautiful. She's brilliant. She's articulate. And she cares about our state and people. And that's what it takes to run for office, right? And to win. So, Nikki Fried, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Seda and Friends. So, bring us up to speed about what you're doing, your campaign, and how are things going?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for that warm introduction, and thank you for all that you do, because I know that in times like this, and there's so much misinformation out there, and you know, knowing that you've got listeners that are tuned into what you're saying and are taking their cues from you. So thank you for what you do in the media market and getting that message out. So we have been on the campaign trail since June, but obviously serving as your commissioner since 2018. So I always say that I've got, I think, at least three hats on at any given moment. One is obviously my commissioner hat, my now candidate hat, but in a lot of the times, my governor hat. Because we are certainly been in the arena against DeSantis for the last 3 years, you know, showing the hypocrisy, showing the hatred that's coming out of his office, and standing up for the people of our state. So we have been crisscrossing the state, not only, again, in all three of my roles, but taking the message right to the people. And the people want a compassionate leader, somebody who understands when their policy positions impact people's lives every single day, and somebody who's not going to spew hatred and divisiveness in our state, who knows how to, you know, bring people together and get legislation passed and making sure that they're standing up for the working class Floridian that hasn't had a seat at the table.
Well, you know, kindness and compassion are hallmarks of humanity, right? And it's kind of sad in the times that we're living in right now, we are watching and listening to so many politicians who are just deciding that they are going to just lie their way into office. And it really makes a person like me sad, because I feel like we know the children are watching. People talk about the kids and they talk about education and all these things, but what do you think is happening with our nation that so many politicians are just deciding that in order to win and get reelected, that they're just going to go along with, like, say, a lie?
Yeah, because unfortunately they've seen it work. You know, I remember growing up, and the one big lesson that I always taught was learned from my mother. She said, Mick, I can take anything. I can take anything but you lying to me. And that was something that, you know, it was put into me as a young kid, and I don't understand it. But they're seeing it work. You know, we saw, you know, the big lie is still a thing out here in the country, and we're seeing this Trumpism, you know, and, you know, you see it a lot in, obviously, Brevard. But it's not what we as Americans are, you know, the flag and the pride of America is the fact that we are a diverse country. We are one of the most diverse states in the nation. And we've got to show compassion and bringing people together. And what they're doing, I mean, the lessons they're teaching our kids, between defunding our public education system to, you know,
$200 million. Yeah, that's $200 million that will not go into the school system when we know that every child needs a quality education.
Well, and here's the thing, which is what people don't understand. That $200 million, which is our taxpayer dollars, is not only not going to those counties, the 12 county school boards that utilized their resources for helping to protect our kids, but that money is being diverted to other counties. So it's not even like it's going back into the coffers. It's being diverted to other counties. So it is a direct threat to public education and a direct revenge. I've never seen a legislature and a governor who is so vengeful. If you dare stand up against them, they're going to come after you. And that is definitely not what public service is supposed to be about. And that's certainly not what a governor should be doing in the third largest state with the most diverse population in the country.
Yeah. And, you know, and the other thing, too, like a lot of us are watching what played out in Tallahassee this past month, right? And they're going after women's rights. They're going after the LGBTQ community. They're going after public housing, education, the environment. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what our race is or our gender or our religion or where we came from. We're all human beings trying to make it on this planet. We're all trying to exist and go to bed and say, okay, when I wake up in the morning, I have healthcare, I have a job, my children can go to school. What has happened in Tallahassee that the people that go along with these things that happened last week,
it's like the emperor's
they lost their marbles? Because it's like, dude, you got elected to represent everybody. You didn't get elected to just represent straight people or gay people or bi. You know, it's like, why? Why say now you're going to have children in school who are fearful to speak up and we're going to have mental health issues and then nobody wants to fund that? So where do we go from here, Nikki Fried? I mean, it makes a person wonder, like, what's going on in Tallahassee? Are people elected just to sit there and get reelected again or actually legislate?
No, and this has been one of my biggest concerns and my biggest criticism of Tallahassee. And quite honestly, this is why I ran in 2018, because I saw this type of corruption. I saw in Tallahassee that good pieces of legislation that was actually going to help people weren't passing. And it was only industry bills and things that make people's lives more difficult. And that's why I got so frustrated in 2018 and said, I'm done with this. I'm going to just run for office so I can try to make a better state for the people here. And I even testified a couple weeks ago when the abortion ban was in front of the Senate committee. And, you know, we had heard so many obviously compelling stories of women and doctors who had come up to testify. And so I tried to use a different angle because I knew all the members of the committee. And so I was trying to, like, as an elected official to an elected official, we are public servants. We're supposed to be representing our entire constituency and not the leadership of your party and not the leadership of your governor. Represent your people. And these people I've known for 20 years. I said, I know that you guys don't want to be doing this, but they fall into these kind of these places where they're so fearful of their own reelect and getting support of the governor or party leadership that they become sheep in the process. And these are senators. There's only 40 of them.
They're rubber stamping everything just because.
Everything.
I mean, I wonder sometimes if these folks who are elected into office in Tallahassee and elsewhere, are they afraid to fill out a job application for a real job? So they have to stay there and go along with everything else just so that they keep health. They want their health insurance. They want their money for their mortgages and their car payments like everybody else. Well, then you know what? Do the right thing, because in the real world, we have to do the right thing.
That's right. And
every single day. And it's, you know, it's remarkable because, and this is one of my other biggest criticisms of the political process, is people become career politicians. That is their career. And when that becomes your career, you forget where you come from. You forget who you're serving because it is your job to literally get reelected. And so you do things that you may not necessarily have ever done in the professional world, in the private sector. And which is why I have said consistently that I'm not a career politician. My job is to get in here, to do my job well, to shake things up, and to make, you know, put our state back on the right path, and then train people under me and bring people up from, you know, whether city and county commission seats to school board members to state House and Senate races, and then pass the baton and get out of the way for the next generation to lead.
And you have
what's
done.
What's happening in Tallahassee is that that's just not the case.
If people don't know what Commissioner Nikki Fried has done the for agriculture, for climate, let me just go over a few things that are fantastic. That established the Innovation Work Group, which is a trade mission to Israel to promote innovation. She's done so much to help out to connect farmers and our grocery stores so that way, even through pandemic times, that the farmers had such a fantastic avenue to be able to sell their goods and services and so forth. She built out the Florida Hemp Program. She's taking action on climate, energy, and water. She's also built bringing the accountability to the concealed weapons licensing. And I'm reading this right off the website.
Yeah.
But it is so cool to not just, you know, I've heard, all, you know, I talk to a lot of politicians. I see a lot of people's backgrounds. But Nikki Fried, the Commissioner of Agriculture for Florida.
Democrat. I'm so proud of her.
Has done all of these things. And it's not just talk, because we can see that it's happened. And so many things, like pushing for the clemency and to restore civil rights to people.
She cares about people.
You know, truly, truly, all of the things, once again, that we always talk about on the show, that when the rubber meets the road, you know, I support the gay and the LBGQ community. I do support all of them. But it doesn't represent everybody. The things that Nikki Fried, as a commissioner for Florida, has done has affected everyone.
So you're saying she'll make a great governor?
I think she's going to make a great
governor. So, Nikki, so we should be making it easier to vote, not harder, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about all this these shenanigans that are happening all over the country, where folks are trying to make it difficult for the common man to just use his voice, a common man and woman, I should say, and just cast a vote?
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a big rally that happened in Tallahassee last week that the NAACP of Tallahassee put together, that I was honored to have been their first speaker at the rally. And that's exactly what's happened. You know, we saw record numbers of Democrats using vote-by-mail ballots. And so what is the first thing the Republicans do is make it more difficult to vote by mail, and putting additional standards and different, making it more difficult. And look, I'm somebody who, when somebody has gone into the ballot box and cast their ballot for me, they're giving me their proxy. They're saying that I believe that you are going to represent me in whatever position that you're running for. I take that really seriously. And if, in fact, they can't win on their own agenda and their own policy positions, then maybe it's time for them to rethink where they are. And the fact that they're making it more difficult only should inspire us to go above and beyond, to register people to vote, to go over the obstacles that they have put in our place for vote, the mail-in ballots and day of elections. And we need to, that energy and that excitement, and say, look, you put this in front of me, I'm going to knock them down. And the only way we do that is by going out, marching to the polls, getting our voices heard, and making sure that we've got a Congress who's listening to us, a Senate who listens to us, and certainly a legislature that is going to carry the will of the people. So when they all get voted out across the country, you'll see a wave of people to make sure that the right path for our democracy is put back into place. This is so disingenuous from the Republican Party across the country. Of course, we all want secure elections. That is the only way that democracy truly works, when people believe in the system. But we've got them. You know, when I say this on a pretty consistent basis, that when the Republicans, including our governor, has gone out and wanting to spend hundreds of millions of dollars for election security task force, we already have that.
That's right.
It's called the Florida Department of
Law Enforcement. Well, it's almost like the code words, right? It's almost like if certain politicians can use words like immigrants, Muslims, baby, border, law enforcement, we love the flag. It's almost like if they could use those words, they have learned to message to their base what they want to be heard, right? And it's like sometimes, yep, I feel our party, the Democratic Party, we have to do a better job messaging who we are. We wake up every day, and I don't know about any other person, but I know you and I have spoken, and other, yep, Democrats, and we tell people, we want you to get an education. We want you to take an opportunity. We want you to learn a trade. We want you to open a business. We want you to go to university, and here are the tools to do it. And when you do, you can make as much money as you wish. Just pay your fair share to the programs that benefits humanity. So what's wrong with us? Why aren't we getting our points across so that people could sit down on their living room couches or their kitchen tables and have conversations about what's affecting them and their family, not single issue voters, but things that are affecting you and your family? How can we, yep, help, Nikki, to message this to to people?
Yeah. And I think that you hit it on the nail on the head. It is the fact, if you talk to any Floridian and any American, the kitchen table conversations are the same. You know, making sure, regardless of how much money you have or how much money you don't have, everybody wants to make sure that they've got a roof over their heads. They want to make sure that their kids have a good education, that they're safe in their schools, that they have clean drinking water, they've got access to food. It's the same issues. No matter where you are on the political spectrum, no matter where you are on the financial spectrum, but Democrats have just done not a great job of saying, look, this is how we're going to make your lives better. And so we've got to come sometimes go back to the basics. But the problem of today is it is no longer just D versus R. We have gotten ourselves and our country into a true culture war. And so people are no longer listening. You know, the politicians are no longer talking about the kitchen table, you know, issues. They're talking about all these other things that really only apply to a very, very small but vocal minority of our state. And unfortunately, that's where the Republicans are bowing down to. And that's not what the average everyday Floridian is talking about. So we as Democrats, one, need to show up because we haven't been doing that either. And we only, I hear this complaint all the time. Where have you all been? Why are you only coming to me right before an election? And so I think it's important for us as Democratic candidates and for those of us that are involved in the Democratic Party to be showing up consistently, making people's lives better all the time. And that's what we, as you just read some things on my website, but that's what we've been doing. We've been showing up, having the first diversity and inclusion director ever in the state of Florida, expanding anti-discrimination policies inside my office, showing minority representation, you know, by sixfold increases inside of my office, and showing policy issues that are affecting people's lives every single day. And we as Democrats need to brag about those accomplishments.
And you know what? That's what I find. A lot of them don't want to brag. I'm like, why? You worked for it. It didn't fall from the sky. If you did something, brag about it. You ought to, because that's how we get other people to talk about it. So let's chat a little bit about the mask policy, right? A lot of people had blasted Governor DeSantis for lifting the coronavirus restrictions. And we saw what happened as we looked and saw what was happening all over the country. I worked in the COVID unit and I agreed with all of us wearing masks, you know, when the height of the virus. But what's happening now with our state? Do you feel we should be lifting the mask mandates a little bit and maybe letting people start having a choice? What is your position on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think we have any mandates in the state, from my understanding. Whether that was, you know, by choice of some businesses, and maybe there's some businesses that are still out there that are listing that had their own business mask mandates inside of, like, you know, I think I saw earlier today that some of the cruise line industries are starting to lift it. And I've been very consistent in my policy. Give people the information that they need. Make sure that you're transparent, that you're honest, you're telling them the facts. You're not trying to sugarcoat it, if you know, good, bad, or ugly. You know, this virus has been all over the place, and so then allowing businesses, allowing local governments, allowing individuals to make the decisions that they believe is right for their businesses, for their community, and for them and for their families. And I think that's been one of the biggest problems with this pandemic is that one, it's been politicized, but two is that you weren't trusting the numbers that were coming out of the Department of Health. You weren't trusting the governor. My God, you're certainly not trusting our Surgeon General, who don't get me on a soapbox on that one.
Yeah, he's an odd character, all right.
Understatement. But and so I think that, you know, we know at this point what it's going to take to get through the pandemic. We know that the vaccines are not preventing people. I think this is a big misnomer that I think that people thought at the beginning that the vaccine was going to prevent them from ever getting COVID. And that is not the case, but it's going to prevent you more likely than not from ever getting into the hospital or getting more severe. So we have to be encouraging people to you know, take shots, encouraging people that if you're in a setting where you don't feel comfortable, you should be masking up. But certainly if a business feels that they have dropped down their numbers, that their employees feel safe, then it needs up to be the business to be making the decisions of what's right for their own company.
Right, and you know what a lot of people don't understand is that we may be finished with the virus, but the virus is not finished with us. So we still have to make sure we hide a mask away in a drawer someplace just in case it comes back, and we have to listen to the CDC. I mean, that's what they get paid for. So I think a lot of people, I mean, in our nursing home where I worked, we saw firsthand wearing the mask, how it helped, and we saw once you got vaccinated and boosted, how it helped. So I'm glad you cleared that up for us, because words matter. And when politicians say things, it matters. And everyone needs to understand we're in this together. It's not one group against the other. We all want the economy to boom again. We all want our kids to go to school and normalize children going back to school and playing sports and learning again. It's not like the Democrats are against safety. We actually want safety. And I feel like sometimes we don't message that properly and say, we hear you. We understand you're worried about your children catching the coronavirus, the COVID-19 in school. But we are too. And here's how we are making a difference. So where do we go from here in telling people that we do want the same things?
Yeah, and I think that part of the problem has been, you know, especially coming out of the governor's office and the Republicans, that they have also spun around and misconstrued our positions for their favor. You know, talking about lockdown, you know, this and lockdown that. And when the reality is, if you look at any of, you know, the positions that have come out from Democrats, you know, in fact, when the governor had done his reopening task force and he put out, even though he, you know, intentionally kept me off of it, when he put out the reopening plan, you know, I showed support for it, and I thought it was methodical, and I thought it was well, you know, poised out at what we had to do. But they have completely, you know, talked about what we as Democrats would do, look like New York and look like California, and we know our state is different, and we know that we are very, in a lot of ways, libertarian, less government. You know, but again, have to be honest and forthright with the people of our state. And I think that there's been so much, you know, dishonesty that comes from the governor's office. And, you know, people have lost their trust and faith in government. And he's to blame for it, because we kept finding out, you know, things that were coming out that were just lies in a lot of respects. And so we got to go back to trusting, you know, that government's there to take care of the people and to be honest. And I think that's when you start kind of going through it and stop with the political rhetoric, stop with all of this nonsense of coming out of the Republican, you know, dialogue of what would have happened if a Democrat was governor of the state of Florida. And the truth be told, you know, there were some things that he did right, but it was the mannerisms of which he did them that made people not trust him, that it was his way.
Well, it's too much fanfare. It's too much fanfare. It's like everything you do, it has to be, oh, look at what I'm doing. Dude, that's your job. You got elected to be the governor for the state of Florida. But here's the thing. Why is it acceptable for so many politicians to paint the Democrats as anti-law enforcement? It is so wrong. And it's just a lie. So why don't we all just come on and say, listen, no, you're lying. We never told you we don't like law enforcement. We never told you we don't want police patrolling our streets. We never told you we don't want investments in our neighborhoods. We never told you we don't want all zip codes and all children to have it. So why are you how come the Democrats don't just come out and say, hey, stop it. You're talking about the wrong people.
Yeah. And I think that's what needs to happen, because it is flat out lies. You know, I oversee almost 1,500 law enforcement officers inside of my agency, you know, and I'm asking for, you know, salary increases. And it is a flat out lie. No one wants, you know, any of this. Everybody wants to make sure that, again, their communities are safe, their kids are safe, that when you are calling 911, that there's somebody who's coming to your house. And so it is bold-faced lies that they're telling. And it's going to take candidates like me to call it out as BS. Be like, we're not sitting back and just taking it.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud that you have a voice of reason and you have a moderate voice. I mean, because at the end of the day, Commissioner Nikki Fried, we all learn from life experience. We learn from each other. We learn from other people's religions and cultures. We learn from sitting down and listening to our neighbors and our friends, no matter which political party they belong to. But none of that is going to happen unless we look at each other right in the face, put down our phones, and start talking to each other and communicating and saying, you know what, I may not like this part of politics, but I like the idea that you want my children to have a quality education. I love the idea that you want us to have law enforcement officials on our corners, on our streets, and things like that. And I find that people far too often, they label each other and they walk away, right? Because, yep. I mean, it's like, sometimes people just want us to hear them. They don't want us to respond. They don't want us to be a judge. They don't want an answer. They just want us to listen. And I feel like you are that person, that you will listen.
Yeah. And look, when I first launched my campaign in June, we did Nikki, and we still do them, Nikki Escucha meetings, Nikki Listens meetings. And I have been all over the state, whether it is in different sectors of the Hispanic community, whether it's the Puerto Rican community or the Cuban community, Venezuelan, Colombian, and certainly in the African American community, the Black community, the Haitian community, the Muslim community. I've been able to sit down with groups because I don't know everything. And, you know, I certainly know my, as you said, my life experience, but so it's really important that I am listening to the concerns of each of these different parts of our state that make up the collective of our state. And in order to be governor, you have to understand the interests of the people that are living here and their concerns and their issues. And quite honestly, a lot of them have left their native countries. Why? Why they leave and why are they here, and are we providing that better environment, that better economic opportunity, that better education system for their families? Otherwise, they have a lot of work to do. And so I listen to everybody, and including my very Republican father. My Republican father on it, I listen to you, and we obviously don't agree on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But certainly I call him up and during COVID, he'd call me on a consistent basis. Like, all right, Nick, tell me the truth. What is happening out there? What is you know, fictitious, and what is theater, and what is really reality, so I can know how to protect myself.
Well, you
and
know,
he is as Republican as it gets.
Well, you know, we have 1 minute left, and I just want to say that one of the strengths of the Florida Democratic Party is having people like you, Nikki Fried, in it, and others who have dedicated their lives to public service for the good of all our fellow men. And I like the idea that we are a big blue tent, and we take in people, and we try to help everyone. But I do want to see more Democrats sit down and talk to others and get our messaging straight and push back a little bit and say, listen, no, you're wrong. We are not like, we don't hate the police. We're not taking your money for social programs because we want to be communists and socialists. We're taking the tax dollars from the people who can afford to pay, and we're giving you a road to drive on. You then fly here. You know, we're giving you law enforcement officers. We're giving you public school teachers. We're giving you hospitals, healthcare. We're doing stuff. So don't act as though we're taking your money and then you, poor little you, are in the corner because you're broke.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And I think the biggest lie that Democrats did not stand up is, don't you dare call me a socialist or communist. That is the biggest lie that the Republicans have spewed into the state and into the country.
Marco Rubio certainly did too, and people. I don't know why he does that. It's like, dude, stop it. You're driving on the road too. It didn't fall from the sky, you know. But give us your website in case any of my friends and Ellen's friends wants to go and look things up.
Yeah. It's pretty simple. We kept it simple. It's just my name. So it's Nikki Fried, and that's NikkiFried.com. On that website, you'll see my background. You'll see the issues that I fight for, the accomplishments as commissioner, places for you to volunteer. And if you have the capacity, we've got ability to obviously give campaign contributions. We've got a $4.20 button, too, for any of my cannabis folks out there. So it's really a site where hopefully people can learn more and want to engage in the campaign.
And I love the quote that you have on your website. I'm somebody who likes to always ruffle feathers, and I think we should all be
She's
feather
young.
Rufflers.
Young people like to ruffle feathers, and you should. We need them.
Be a feather ruffler
be a
for
feather
Nikki
ruffler.
Fried. Well, once again, thank you, Sita, so much for bringing such fantastic guests.
I love
we
her.
Had,
She's so relatable.
Ty Javelana, the earlier segment, and of course, Commissioner Nikki Fried. Thank you so much for calling in here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. But once again, the time goes so quickly. Folks, if you're listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, make sure you tune in each and every Monday right here, Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC, each and every Monday at 1 o'clock.
Oh.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC.